Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr, and you are listening to Fiber Talk, that twice-weekly podcast for people who do the needle and thread stitching thing. And our guest this week, Frieda Murfin, Frieda's Fancy Stitching. Hi, Frieda.
Hi, Gary.
Thanks for joining us here, Alberta, Canada. It's got to be beautiful country up there.
It's gorgeous country, Gary.
Yeah. Trees and mountains and hills and everything.
Yes. We're just an hour from the mountains, and it's absolutely lovely, especially at this time of the year.
Well, I'll bet. Yes. And then you were just camping recently. Is this a normal thing for you to do? Because camping for me is going somewhere and then a hotel at night with a shower. But
that shower feels awful good when you get back, Gary. Yes, we camp all summer. We come home for a day or two for doctor's appointments and that kind of thing. And then we go again. I run around like a chicken with its head cut off, you know, laundry and groceries and blah, blah, blah. And then we've gone again. But my stitching goes with me.
Well, that was my next question, is does camping include stitching?
Oh, camping includes stitching. Oh, definitely. And sitting, my spot is at the kitchen table, and just sitting and looking out at this gorgeous mountain where we camp most of the time, it just is inspiring. And wow. I just do my thing. I'm not an outside camper. If there's any bugs out there, I don't want to be with them.
Okay. All right. So you're normal then. You're normal. Okay.
I'm normal. And I just love to sit, and I find that I get lots of inspiration when I'm there.
Well, that's great. So you say a kitchen. So that means you have some kind of shelter then.
Oh, we have an old small fifth wheel.
Oh, okay. Oh.
So we have a furnace, and we have an oven and a microwave and a generator for power. So it's just like moving our house.
Okay.
Okay. To the mountains.
See, now I think I could tolerate that. But I still need that shower. That's a problem.
Yeah. Yes. Where we go, we don't have water hookups. Uh-huh. So we have to do stand-up baths,
yes.
You know, to conserve water.
Sure,
And, you know, not fill up the tanks too much. So you have to consider that.
Yeah, I'd have to either pray for rain or drive to town or something. I don't know. But the thought of sitting and staring at a mountain and stitching is really appealing. That's kind of the epitome of the hobby, I think.
Well, it is for me. I just I can just stitch and just stitch all day and enjoy it, you know.
Yeah.
And the mountain changes all the time because the clouds roll by or the sun shines on it or whatever. But it's always changing. It's never the same.
Oh, sounds wonderful.
Yes.
You win.
Yeah.
So, okay, 100 designs. Did you ever think that you'd have 100 designs when you did that first one?
No, I had no idea that I would, design that many. I remember saying to one of the ladies in the our local shop that, you know, I've got 10, this is my 10th design. Can you believe that? It's been quite an adventure.
Yeah, well, and for those who don't know, Frieda, 100 designs, just introduced her 100th one. I should explain this ahead of time. Charted needlepoint canvas designs. And I've been following you, you wouldn't know it, but I've been following you for some time because I just find your designs, they're fascinating. They're really creative and colorful. And of course, I love all the different stitches you do. And so I followed you for some time now. I have to admit, I have not stitched one of your designs, but this 100th one here is really something. Now this is bigger than normal.
It's bigger than the ones I normally do.
Yeah.
I think it's about 12 by 12.
Something like that.
Approximately. Approximately. Yeah. Yes. And it had been on my mind for a long time. You know, I'm coming up to 100. I'm working on 97 and 98 and so on. And I'm coming up to 100, and it's got to be special. I mean, it's really got to be special.
Okay, so you did. So you went through that. That was what I was wondering. You went through that process of it's 100. I really got to do something extra.
Yes.
Okay.
And then I did the banquet, and it was pretty special. And then I did Golden Ebony, which is my 97th, I believe. And it was stunning. And so then I thought, how am I going to get better than that? but it is, it's a pretty special piece. I really do like it.
Yeah. Is this, when you did the 100th one, you call Celebrating Stitches, was it a design that was in your head, or was it a compilation of favorite little pieces, or what? How did that all come to be?
I just started it. I just drew what I thought on a graph on the computer, and I started working on it. Before I'd gone very far at all, just the first few stitches, I thought, no, that's not going to work. So I went back and redrew the graph. I think I redrew the graph 3 times.
Mm.
And then I'll go back and stitch. And my friends had decided they should pick the color for this 100th piece.
Okay.
So we were having a stitch in at my house, and so they went through all my watercolor threads and decided on this purple and royal blue. And I said, well, that's certainly outside of my comfort zone, but you know, you never know. And so I started the piece, and I got to the point where I just didn't want to stitch it.
Oh, uh-huh.
I didn't want to stitch it. And then I thought, I don't like that color. It's muddy. It's, you know, I just don't like that color. So I changed the color, and it became pink and brown, still with the same copper thread in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went a little bit further, and I did about 76 of those Jessica stitches, and I thought, this isn't working. It's just not working. And that hasn't happened a lot to me,
yeah.
You know. So I thought, no, I've got to find something different. So we were camping, and of course all my threads are stuck in a cupboard in plastic bags when we're camping.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and dug them out, and I rooted through them and what would work, because I certainly don't want to take out all these Jessicas.
Right, right.
What would work with those pinks? And I found the cinnabar, which is the orangey red.
Yes, I know that color. I like that color, yes.
Yes, and all of a sudden, it was right. It was just right. And I was loving it. And then after that, it wasn't hard at all.
Yeah, it just comes. You know, it's interesting because it sounds like one instance where someone else chose the colors. And when we had Gay Ann Rogers on a few weeks ago, you know, one of her hard and fast rules is if you're stitching a color you don't like, change it. Don't stitch them because you'll hate it.
That's
exactly what happened to you there.
Yes, when I heard her say that, I thought, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and so it sounds like then you basically you had people choose colors for you, and in your mind that doesn't work, and it took you, no. you tried to cling to those, but it just was never going to work for you.
It was never going to work. Yeah. And even the second set of colors wasn't working. I think simply because it wasn't the right color.
Right.
It just yeah. Right.
And folks, don't freak out. Yeah, there's a lot of Jessicas in this thing, but they're not hard. Once you do one or two, they're not hard.
Actually, once you get the picture in your head, I always tell my people if I'm teaching, get the picture in your head of how the stitch goes. Take your finger on the chart and go from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 and so on, and do it several times until you see that picture.
Yes.
And then all those stitches are really not hard.
Yeah, isn't that true? Because so many of them look really complex, and I know Jessica's freaked people out, but really once you use your technique or even just do one or two, you really don't even need a chart pattern for them. They're
no.
pretty automatic.
Once you know how to do them, they're easy.
Yeah, just got to remember to go underneath on those last three or four or whatever it is.
I always say, if you go underneath, once you come around the Jessica and you meet the number one point again, so you've gone around and you're up to number one, then after that, all the rest go underneath.
Right.
And if you always remember that, then there's not a problem.
Right. Yeah, and it is. I mean, you're just going around a circle for all intents and purposes, or whatever shape it is, but primarily circles. So
yes, yeah.
But I love the way you have those around that center piece. It's very nice, and then follow and frame the outer portion with road stitches there. It's a nice tie-in.
Yeah, it worked well, and I don't have any basic plan. I just, when I'm drawing the graph, I just put in what I think might work.
but
oftentimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
And you think, no, that's not right. So I go back and change the graph and you know, do something different.
Yeah. But I'm always curious with folks like you in that, do you graph it, then stitch it, or stitch it, then graph it? And it sounds to me like you do both essentially simultaneously then.
Well, yes, I do the graph first, what I think will work.
Yeah.
And then as I'm stitching, the graph always gets changed.
Mm-hmm. But they're going along in parallel. So.
Yes, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to do a piece the other day. And I have a bunch of canvas I bought. I bought some Congress cloths and some 18 count just to have a supply.
Okay.
And I thought, I'm going to do this one on Congress cloth, because I've not done one, actually never have done one on Congress cloth that I'm aware of. And I'm pretty sure I'd be aware of it. but what stopped me was the thread thickness. And I was afraid that, and I was going away on a trip with this project. And so I thought, well, if I started on Congress cloth, and I didn't have time to do a bunch of testing. So I thought, I'm just not going to take that chance. So I took 18 count. And you have some that you've done on Congress and some on 18 count. Take me through that a little bit. Do you really have a lot of problems with thread thickness? Do you have to adjust a lot, or can you pretty much do?
You can't use the same threads.
Yeah. You gotta really. If I were to do that conversion, I'd have had to do some testing with all the threads then.
Yes, generally speaking, on Congress cloth, you can use Pearl 8 rather than Pearl 5s.
Okay, so that's the step. That's the step down.
That's the step down. And that's a very general rule, I would say, you know, because there are threads out there that aren't quite either or.
Right.
You know, but when I sort my threads, you know, to store them, I have purl 8 weight and purl 5 weight.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I'm looking for that kind of thing, I can look in that particular pile.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Okay, so in this one, there's some pearls, but I think they're all equivalent, essentially eights. So yeah. I could have probably taken. I just didn't want to take the chance because I was not going to be home where I had a choice of threads.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
And so I could have gone with this one and then stranded ones. That's just a matter of if three are called for, you probably have to go to two, or two, then you have to go to one.
Yeah. Yes.
That's
yeah.
pretty easy.
Yes.
It's the pearls. Yes. The pearls that get to be the challenge.
Yes, because you don't split them.
Right. Right.
But let me tell you about the Congress cloth. When I did variations on a Rhodes theme, which was my 11th chart way back when, and I did it on 28 count. 28 count wouldn't support the big stitches.
Yeah.
It was just too soft.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, I'll try Congress cloth. I had no idea at the time that I was moving into canvas work. You know, I just did it on Congress cloth because it held the stitches.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't even realize that you had to do a different chart, because the graphing for 28 counts is different than graphing for canvas work.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big learning experience, you know. I've muddled my way through this whole thing. So I did it on Congress cloth. And then that was the first year I entered or went to the needlework show,
mm-hmm.
the online needlework show. And my friends had to make me do it. I thought, there's no way. I was just selling charts at the local shop, you know.
Right.
And I thought, there's no way. And then she just absolutely made me sit down and register. And I thought, oh, my Lord, what have I done? But variations on a Rhodes theme was so popular. I absolutely couldn't believe what happened. And that was my first foray into the internet. I just had no idea.
Yeah.
So really, my whole life as a designer has just sort of happened around me. And I've just gone with it, you know?
Yeah, because you have that. Now, I was going to bring that up. You and I both... know a time before the internet existed, and
yes.
and how, you know, conventional things, and there was actually a phone in your kitchen on the wall that you called, and
yes.
and you know that those kinds of those kinds of things. And then you say it happened around you. I mean, you sell stuff on your website, and so you've been through that whole transition from pre-internet to being online and promoting your stuff online, and on top of that, then you have seen the tremendous growth in thread options that we've seen in this hobby over the years.
Oh my, yes. Oh, the threads are wonderful. One of my favorite things to do is go out to our local shops and play with threads, feel them, and the colors. The colors really speak to me, and love all the threads you can get now.
Yeah, have you ever thought about going back to early designs and you know, with threads that we have available now, reworking them, or you just move on?
No, that's not something I've thought about.
Yeah. Okay.
It might be worth looking at though. Because it could be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. You might just find, yeah, it might have the same design transformed into something completely different. So.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. It could.
Yeah, you know, in an idle moment when you don't have a new design idea, then you go back. But you probably don't have those. Are you one of those? Are you one of those artists that has 100 designs and just don't have enough time to get them down?
They're in my head.
Yes, yes.
There's a lot of them in my head, and I haven't. You can only work on one at a time, you know. Although, right now, I have started a new mystery sampler that I really want to be working on.
Mm-hmm.
But this is September, and I should do a Christmas one. Okay. So in my head, I've got one that's called Simply Christmas, which is, if I'm seeing it right, will be one evening stitch.
Oh.
That's why it'll be called Simply Christmas. So that's in my head, and I really should do that because time's a-wasting here. It's almost Christmas.
Yes.
So there are all those things that sort of happen that you have to share your time with.
Yeah, that's the trouble with Christmas. I direct the handbell choir at our church, and last night, from when we were recording this, last night was our second rehearsal because we start after Labor Day. And of course, the goal, once you start, is to get Christmas music prepared for concerts and services and other things. And somebody mentioned at the rehearsal, there are only X days till Christmas, and I think the whole choir just panicked. Like, we don't know any of our music, and we don't have any time, because we get an hour and a half a week. And
And
that Christmas just marches right toward you in a hurry, doesn't it?
It does, yes. It comes up fast.
Yeah. Yep, it sure does. It sure does. So let's go back. You've been stitching since you were a little girl?
Yes. I don't remember learning to stitch. I have no memory
of that.
But
so that was early then.
I remember sewing a blouse at school. I was 10 that year.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just a little girl, for Pete's sake. And this blouse was a shirt-style blouse with a set-in collar, set-in sleeves, the whole thing, buttonholes, and double seams, the French seams.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all done by hand.
Including the buttonholes?
Including the buttonholes, including all those seams were all done by hand. I can't believe it now that they would teach a 10-year-old something like that, but evidently they did. And another memory I have is learning to knit.
Uh-huh.
I learned to knit, I'd be about 5 or 6, I would think. I learned to knit dishcloths. It was for the war effort.
Oh, okay.
I have no idea what they did with them. but we were knitting dishcloths for the war effort, because this was right at the end of the war.
Uh-huh.
And I learned to knit on meat skewers. You know those metal skewers? They're square and they're twisted.
Yeah.
You know the ones I mean?
Yeah, you knitted with those?
That's what I learned to knit on, because that's all I had. That's my memories, early memories of stitching. And, you know, I know, I presume I learned at school.
Yeah. Was your mother a needlework?
Oh, yes. Oh, she would have taught me too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't remember, you know, I don't remember it. It's only a year or two ago.
Yeah, exactly. What's your problem? So did you do needlework like all through school, or were just off and on until you got older?
all through school, at least all through school in England. I was 14 when we came to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So all through school in England, then not so much.
Well, over there, that would have been more fitting with the culture then.
Oh, absolutely. All little girls learn to stitch.
Yeah.
You just did.
Right.
But in where we went in northern Saskatchewan, you didn't get home ec classes. You just didn't get home ec classes.
Yeah.
So, but then I stitched all through my, you know, after I was married, I stitched and made things for the children and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Did a lot of petty point.
Yeah, I was curious about that because you don't hear about that much anymore unless it's people who stitch for dollhouses. And many years ago, that used to be something a lot of people did.
That's basically all the needlework, you know, the stitching. That's all I did. I thought, why would people do cross stitch? It's twice the work. You know? So I did petty point flowers.
Mm-hmm.
I did lots of petty point flowers. I did Blue Boy for a friend. And I used to stitch that when I was working on that one. I used to do it in the truck when we were traveling. I can't believe my eyes were good enough.
Yeah, I'm impressed right there. Bouncing around in a truck, that's good. So you did the whole Blue Boy painting?
The whole Blue Boy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in petty point.
In petty point. It was about probably 12 inches high, I would think.
What was used for thread? Was that just a thin wool?
No, for that is, I think it was 3 strands floss.
Okay.
Just DMT floss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, DMC has been around a long time, you know.
They have, yes. And Anchor. It might have been Anchor. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Either way, that thread, you talk about the foundation of multiple versions of the hobby. It's
yes.
Yeah. And people still today, when they came out with those new colors not too long ago, people still today get excited about what they do. And, it's pretty hard to have a store without a whole cabinet full of DMC floss.
Yeah, you have to have it.
Yeah.
That's the basis, you know.
Right, yeah. Well, and I don't know that no one has the color range, do they? I don't think even the silk people don't, that they have.
No. I mean, DMC has a pretty good color range.
Yeah. So when does the design switch get flipped?
There are days when I just sit down and think.
No, I mean, when did you say, wait, I can do a design?
Oh, that story.
Like number one, you know?
Number one. We were at a stitch night at the shop. And there's a group of ladies around, and one of the girls had brought a poem that she'd found on the internet. And the comment was made, somebody should do a sampler with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'll do that.
Uh-oh.
Gary, I had never stitched a sampler in my life.
Uh-oh.
I did that quite, remember?
Oh, no.
And so one of the other girls, she graphed the writing for me. And so I took it home and I made this sampler. And took it back to the shop when it was done. And I gave one to all the ladies in the group. And the shop owner sort of looked at me as if to say, what? And we decided we would stitch it together. So we stitched it all together as a group, and it was just a fun time. I have to say that If you can belong to a group of stitchers, do it, because you learn by osmosis. You just soak it all in. I knew so little back in those days, really, about stitching. And you just learn when there's a group of people around you.
Yeah.
So we learned this, and so I sold a few charts to the shop, and they had it in there. And then we worked on another chart all together as a group, and I learned how to do drawn thread.
Ah.
And that's where the second one came in.
Mm-hmm.
A Christmas sampler. And it had drawn thread in it, and it was kind of much more complicated and much harder to draw when you don't have the computer.
Hand. Oh, that's right. You'd have had to do all that by hand. Oh my.
Yeah, and if you make a mistake on a page when you've done it by hand, you do the whole page over. Anyway, so that's how it all started, and I was hooked. I just was hooked.
You got the design bug right out of the gate then.
Yes. Yes. After that first one.
Mm. And you were doing cross stitch at that time then? Because you have some cross stitch designs here.
I have some cross stitch designs. I did some cross stitch. I loved trying to think how I was feeling then. Yeah, my early designs are mostly cross stitch. I bought the PC Stitch software so I could graph stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a couple of those early ones in cross stitch that I did from a photo I took. So I'd take a photo and then the program would graph it.
Okay.
And so there's several of those in that first group of cross stitch. And then I did a few more complicated ones. I loved the girlfriends one. It came from, there was a email that went around, you know, about how having girlfriends lowers your blood pressure.
Oh. Oh, here I see. Cherish the joy of girlfriends.
Yes.
Number 16. Yes. Yeah, number 16. Okay.
And I did that because that email really spoke to me. It's so true. And then you don't have a picture of it, but I did the border, and the border was square at that time, and it's not anymore. And I thought, I don't like that. So I made it wavy.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I had finished it, I looked at it and I thought, here's this border around the girlfriends. I changed enough of it that there was two round things, wheels, on the edge at each corner. Uh-huh. And I thought, you know, girlfriends are there all through the ups and downs of life. That's the wobbly part. And then when life does a 90-degree turn, as it often will, girlfriends are there, the two wheels at the corners, the girlfriends are there to smooth the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw all this after it was finished, and that's why I love it so much.
So you didn't, that was not the original plan, and then it ended up working out for you.
Yes, yes. It was just there after I'd done it.
Yeah. Yeah, you probably knew it subconsciously all along.
Yes, yeah.
That's a great design. So when you do, and now with a little story behind it, that design really has extra meaning. That's very good. So when you do these early designs, are you collaborating with your stitching friends, or are you saying, here's a design, what do you think? What's that exchange like?
Well, they were. I remember when I started doing the quadrille patterns. There was a new piece of fabric in the shop, and we all stood around there, sort of thinking, looking at it, and liking it, and I said, you know what? We could do a series of patterns with this, and we could make them alike but different. You know, so I'm bouncing ideas off the group.
Yeah.
We could do different colors, but the same basic pattern. So if you look at the four quadrille patterns, they have the center part with a multicolored thread and different areas with multicolored thread, but they're all different, but they're all got the same basic design.
Yes.
And that's, there was four of them. That's why they're called quadrille.
Kind of in a way remind me of a little bit of Quaker samplers, kind of that thing, but with more organization to them.
Yeah, it could be. Yes. More symmetrical.
Yes, much more. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
But, oh, just looking at these now, how big are these? Let's see, 7-inch pieces?
Yes, about that.
But looking at these, what fun you could have with different colors easily.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Often my designs start with a color. I'll see a color in the shop, and I'll think, oh, I have to do something with that. That's what happened with the colorist charts. When I saw the new colorist patterns, or colors, in the shop, it was like, oh, I have to do something with that.
Yeah. So well, I wanted to ask you about that because you mentioned colorists in somewhere in your website, and Arlene Cohen and I were having a discussion because she had played with that a little bit. She just tripped over it at a Michaels or a, you know, one of those big box stores.
Yes.
And just took it home, and she was playing with it and trying to decide because the color changes are so sudden and extreme, if I can say those things.
Yes, they are.
And
yes.
So I was curious, based on what she had said, what you obviously made it work for you and found it to be a good thread for designs then.
The first one, color is, it's gone right out of my head. The pink one is, why can't I remember the name of it?
Let's see, we got soothing and dramatic.
Soothing, yeah.
Soothing, okay.
Yes. Soothing, dramatic, and fun. So I love that one. I love that one. But I'm not as fond of the dramatic one because I see those changes, the instant changes.
Oh, yes, I see that here.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, oh, I see that, yeah.
In that design, it is fairly dramatic, but it doesn't speak to me the same way.
Uh-huh. And for people who are interested, those are 81 and 82 and 83 are her designs. But yes, I see that in the dramatic one, that it's, yeah, that almost is too much.
Yes, yes. And I didn't recognize that until you just said it.
I'm sorry.
that's okay. That's okay. The color is fun. One was just fun. Mm-hmm. You know, the balloons. It's just a little bit of nonsense, you know.
Yeah. Huh. It's just interesting how different designers take the same thread and can some one can get something out of it and the other just says, "Nah, I'll pass. I'm moving on to something else."
Yes. Yes. I look at what other designers do all the time. And a lot of them, I think, oh, I wish I could design like that. but then I have to sit myself down and say, you design what you design. You know,
right.
Your designs are you,
right.
Sort of thing. And it's right.
Yeah, that's an interesting dynamic because I've talked to other designers who do look at what other people do. And then some will say, no, I never look because I don't want to be influenced at all. I just want to stay with what's in my head and what comes to me. And because it can go either way. Like I added a trade magazine, and I'll skim through competitive magazines, but I don't read them like you would think I would. You would think I would study and read what all the competition does, and I don't and never have, because I don't want that influence in my head.
Right.
You know, I don't want to, yes. And then I don't want to be second guessing myself all the time. So I just stay away from it.
Yes. And,
yeah.
Yes, I understand that. And I think I recognize that when I'm looking at the other designs.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah.
That's, you know, that's not me. That's, yeah.
That's someone else. Yeah. And so you obviously have in your head a solid concept of what you are and what your designs are, and then consciously stay within that.
Yeah, I think so. Yes. I've tried to get better, you know, and if you look at my beginning designs,
mm-hmm.
I think I got better over the years.
Well, I would say, yeah. I mean, you look back at the early ones, and yeah, you can see a definite progression there. When do you go to doing a majority of your designs as needlepoint, chartered canvas?
Well, I did after variations on a Rhodes theme, and how popular it was in that first online show. I did the companion pieces, More Roads to Follow and All Roads Lead to Stitching, 33, 35, somewhere in there.
Uh-huh.
I did those two because the first one had been so popular. So I thought, well, I better, you know, do something like that. And so I did a few small ones, Four Square and Golden Ivory. And that's basically where it started. And then a shop owner phoned me and said, I wish you would do design on 18 count because that's what my stitchers like. They don't mm-hmm. want to work on Congress cloth. So I thought, okay. And I translated those other designs into 18 count and didn't like them particularly.
Oh. Oh.
I didn't like them as well, should I say. I did.
Well, because they got a little chunky or?
They weren't as nice to my way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Although I did put them, all the charts, the printed charts have that little piece in them that says you can do it on 18 count and here's the threads you use.
Okay.
But then I Jessica's story was on, the first Christmas one. I can picture it and I can't think of the name. I must be getting old.
Oh, wait, this Jessica's story. Look at that.
Jessica's story. Is
now, see, wonderful. this is unfair to the listeners because they can't see them, but Jessica's story is number 38, but that's on black canvas. That's that's very different from your other ones.
Yes, it is. I wanted to do more Jessicas, so I pictured a mobile, you know,
right,
that hangs, and it's in turquoise metallic. It's all metallic, turquoise metallic and silver on black, and it's like a chain of Jessicas, and it's got crystals. I used the actual Swarovski crystals on it. And, yeah, it's beautiful. Stunning.
Yeah. See, the trouble with doing these podcasts, I have to say, is I want to do something from everyone. And I have the time to do nothing from anyone. And
yes,
it's very frustrating to me. It really is. Because that's a nice vertical, what, 3 inches and change by 16. So you went, that's a long, narrow piece.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes. Ugh. It's lovely. If you want, you know, that's one to try, definitely.
And then, so you started Jessica's and these other things kind of made you evolve into more needlepoint designs then.
Yes, after that, I didn't mostly. Well, another thing is, Gary, I can see the holes in the fabric, and I can hold the needle, the bigger needles, easier than those tiny little needles. That's an aging thing, too.
It happens. It's unavoidable.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep, it happens. It happens. So, but then some of these stitches, Jessica's and Rhodes and these other things, really open up some doors for you that you don't have with just simple X's.
No, you don't. I bought a book. It's the Encyclopedia of Needlework by Donna Cooler, and I use that book a lot. But then I bought Twisty Stitches by Carol Lake and Michael Boren.
Yes.
It was like walking into a candy store, Gary. Oh, those books are wonderful.
Yeah, and if those two people had any talent, they'd be dangerous, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. but they're just... it's such a good reference book, the two of them. Mm-hmm. The price here in Canada is frightful, but well worth it. Well worth it.
So those are your dog-eared books that you'd back and forth all the time.
They go with me in the trailer. They're in my computer bag all the time. And they go with me, and I use them faithfully. And I've learned to do... you can almost see on my designs where I bought those books.
Thank you, Carol.
because I'm you know, trying all these neat new stitches that, you know, early on I loved the Rhodes stitch and Jessica's and but there's so many of them and right. They're all wonderful, you know.
Well, and you must, as you're working on designs, get carried away at times and say, wait a minute, I'm just using stitches because they look like fun, and I need to dial this back and rework the design.
Yes, this is too many. This is too many big stitches, or it gets complicated after. You're right. It does. So, yes, you do have to be careful.
Self-discipline.
Yeah. I don't have much of that, actually.
But, yeah, I mean, it must be really easy when you have that number of stitches and that number of threads. And then if you step back from a design you're working on, you go, this has just become a mess. Because it's I'm trying to do way too much with too many things, and there's no cohesiveness to it at all.
Yeah. It's okay to repeat stitches somewhere along the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you target a stitching level? Like, do you try to stay at a mid range, whatever that defines out to be, or do you just create the design and it is how it comes out and I'm happy with it, and if you like it, fine, and if you don't, fine. Is that any part of that mental process in your design?
I will think about designs for beginners, but the rest not.
Okay.
Like, I'll be aware that this is a design for somebody just starting canvas work and they want to, you know, so the simple stitches. I did a piece, I did it for the EAC seminar in Prince Edward Island, and it's called Just Plain Fun with Sahara Sunrise. So, and I'm thinking that I will do a series of Just Plain Fun with whatever color, you know, because, and they were small, less than 5 inches, and fairly simple stitches, nothing too complicated, and but just fun. Mm-hmm. You know, fun, sit down and stitch it in a weekend. And I think that's one of my plans for the next little while.
Uh-huh.
if this new mystery doesn't take over my life.
Yeah, I want to get back to that, but you tend to have a lot of 5-inch-ish sized pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Is that intentional, or is that just because that's the amount of space that holds the design that's in your head?
No, it's fairly intentional because framing is so expensive.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I suppose you probably come across that.
Oh, 2 or 3 times, yes.
And so I want to do pieces that fit into an off-the-shelf frame that you can buy for $15.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
5x5 or will fit, or, you know, 5 or 6 inch will fit in an 8x8 frame quite nicely.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of my thought process.
Okay.
My cheap little heart thinks, yeah, you don't want it too expensive that they can't afford to do it. And yeah.
Well, and I'm sure that if we could gather all the needle workers in general together, that would rise near the top as an issue in that I have all of these completed things in a drawer. I just can't frame them all or can't finish them all because it just sheer cost. And,
yes.
And so therefore I stitch them and put them in a drawer and forget
and
about
nobody
them.
Nobody ever sees them.
Right.
You know?
Right. Which is a shame. Yes.
Yeah, it is a shame.
Yeah. But no, that's good. So that way, yes, if you make a little effort, you can, for not much money, get them in some kind of a frame and show them.
Yes. Or you can make them into a bag.
Yes.
I put them on the front of a bag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I did that. I've done that with several of my pieces. Or a cushion. It's cheaper to do a cushion than a frame most of the time.
Yes. Yes. Okay, tell about the stitch along now.
Well, last year, I went on a cruise with Jeanette Douglas and a group of ladies, about 120 of us.
Now, there's another one that if she had talent, she'd be dangerous. Yeah.
Oh, I just love Jeanette. She lives up just up the hill from me.
Oh, she does? Oh,
yes.
Oh. Should have had you both on at the same time. That'd have been fun.
Anyway, we were sitting around at the dinner table, and these two girls were sitting there, and they said, you should do a mystery sampler. Again, I'd never done a mystery sampler. I'd never stitched one. I didn't know anything about mystery samplers. So I said, okay. And I had a piece on my computer at that time, and I had it broken into squares, ready to do sort of a collage kind of thing. So I thought, yeah, I could do that. So I jump in and, of course, do it. Oh, okay.
You have a nasty jumping in habit, don't you?
I do. Like I say, you know, somebody will say that and I'll just run with it. It's a beautiful piece. It's called The Banquet. And as I stitched it, I kept thinking, oh, this is just delicious. It's just delicious. And that's where the name came from. Anyway, I started it, and I got it stitched, and I got it, the first pieces out, and there were so many errors.
Uh-oh.
I was just mortified, you know? But from that, I learned that you don't proofread your own work.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I'd known that forever, but this brought it home.
Yep.
When you have a mystery sampler going, you've got shop owners and you've got all the people that bought the pieces directly from you. So you have to, every time there's an error, you email the shop owners and you email all your personal stitchers. I talk about mea culpa. Oh, the first 3 parts of this chart were just, and it would just became a nightmare. I wanted to just throw in the towel. You know, then I thought, No, you know, you can't go back. You can't redo it. You've got to move ahead.
Right.
So if I do it again, I'll have somebody test stitch the pattern. I'll have them all done ahead, well ahead of the launch, so they're all done, you know. But it was a learning experience again.
Right, right, yeah.
So
that's a hard one that's a hard one to swallow, though. Wow.
Oh, I just can't believe there'd been errors in some of my charts, and I'd posted it on the website. You know, once in a while is an error, and that's okay. But when it becomes so personal, you
know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, anyway, so, but I learned from it. So this time, everything's going to be done ahead of time and test-stitched and, you know, proofread by somebody other than me. So it should be much better. But it was an adventure, and I loved, what I loved is hearing from the stitchers.
Mm-hmm.
Much more than when you're just selling charts.
Right, right. Yeah, there's
and
an
really,
there's an
I
exchange.
I really enjoyed
yeah.
that. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Back and forth. Yep. Yeah. Even if it's over errors, there's still a back and forth.
There's still a back and forth, and most of the ladies were very forgiving and understanding, and accepted apologies. And
even if they had to rip it out again.
So
this next one, then I can see what you mean by consuming all your time. So if you're going to have it for next year, you got to have basically the whole thing done, stitched, tested, proofed, and everything. Yeah. So you can parcel it out.
So my plan is to stitch part one. I've already stitched part one twice. But I'll stitch part one, write the chart. The main part of the chart, it'll be, you know, fixed along the way, but write the main part of the chart, and then I've got a lady that's going to test stitch it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a member of our guild, so she's going to test stitch it for me, and that way, as I do section two, part two, then I'll give her that one to do. I'll write the chart, and you know.
Yeah.
That's my plan anyway.
Well, it sounds like a good plan. It sounds like an excellent plan.
Yes. Hopefully there won't be any errors in this one.
From the sounds of it, you'll be paying close attention.
Oh, absolutely. I learned my lesson, Gary.
Yep. Sounds like it. Sounds like it. Well, Frida, I told you this would go by fast, and it did.
Are we done?
I think so. It's been an hour, and we like to have them around an hour. And yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
It is absolutely amazing. Yes, I can't believe it.
Yep, thoroughly enjoyed it. Now, for those interested, you can see all of her designs at fridasfancystitching.com, and a link for that in the page for the podcast. And then she's also a Facebook page, and so you can get them directly as downloads from Frida or. Go to your store, and then they'll order a printed copy if that's what you want. Either way, that's how you work it, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So we can do that. You can see your designs and keep a watch for that that sampler, that monthly sampler thing coming up for sure. Pressure's
absolutely.
On. Pressure's on. All right, Frida, thanks so much for doing this. Really enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it too, Gary. Thank you.
All right. Thanks to everybody for listening. And Christine and I will be back on Wednesday.